Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Elect Clayton Evans.
And we are Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated. And tonight we're bringing you our show, Breaking Those Generational Curses by Operating in Love. And it's actually part two of our segment that we had last night. But before we get started, we would like to enter some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase. Amen.
Amen. Spirit of the true and living God, it is the honor and the privilege, Father God, to be in your service, Father God. We just ask now, the Heavenly Father, that your Spirit dwell among us, Father God, so that we may go into the truth of your word, the Heavenly Father, and reveal to us, Father God, those things that you would have us to say, Father God. We ask these things in Jesus' name, so it's like we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much. And again, we're talking about breaking those generational curses by operating in love. We will be discussing how the curses of the fathers among us have impacted our inability to operate in love. As children, we suffer so much that as adults, we continue to act like those wounded children. And tonight, our scripture is coming out of Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. That's the word of God.
From the people of God.
Amen.
Thank you, my God. Amen.
Last night we was having a pretty in-depth discussion, and we ended up talking about, you know, how those things carve our way through adulthood, those things that happen to us that we go through and experience as children. And it really has a big impact on how we, others and ourselves. And it's like the words say, you know, this is the same kind of things that we pass down to our own children. So we have to be careful that we learn how to break those curses, break those chains, and stop those iniquities as soon as we possibly can. And one thing that I've learned is that identifying what the issues are and getting to solutions and getting that healing and deliverance from it through the word of God is the only thing that's really going to break those curses.
Amen. A lot of times things are spoken into the lives of our children that, you know, we really don't understand how powerful words are and how that we can curse our children by speaking things into their lives or speaking negativity into their lives. And so it behooves us as parents and as stewards of the word of God to be able to bless them. You know, that was one of the things in the Old Testament, that fathers always bless their children. You know, they spoke a blessing over their lives and stuff. And in Jewish homes, they still do that to this day. So, you know, we should speak positive things into the lives of our children. We say things like, you know, your child is stupid and never amount to anything, and they're lazy and no count. You know, those things, those words pierce deep into their heart and their soul, you know. And if you hear anything long enough, it becomes a part of me, you know. And later on in life, when things seem to be going in that direction, that child will grow up to believe that, you know, they are worthless and stupid and won't amount to anything. And that's a curse, you know, on their lives. So we need to always speak blessings over our children and encourage them and speak positive things in their lives. So they know they're smart and successful and just able to and capable to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So it behooves us to do that on a regular basis to our children, to let them know that they are, you know, capable of being and doing anything that they want to do.
Amen. And that would definitely help break those curses because, you know, while you was talking, I was thinking about how that's the prophecy over your child's life. You know, that's you prophesizing.
Prophesizing over their life.
And it's very important that, you know, it's always a positive prophecy. And, you know, last night we was talking about how in our household we didn't hear about love. And basically we didn't feel love. And learning how to identify what love is and how to hold on to love and keep love and operate in love was difficult for us as adults because of that. And that's one of those generational curses that we're going to be talking about because learning how to operate in love as an adult, you know, we have to come to that understanding that there's some behavior that has to be unlearned so that we can learn how to operate in love. And some of that behavior we were talking about being in a what was it that you called it before? Did you say mixed family? Blended family. You call it a blended family, you know, where most people call it step families. You know, where you have a mother, a father, and then you have children that are biologically belonging to only one of those parents.
Right.
And dealing with how to operate in love and making sure that we become good stewards over that one child or two children or however many it is, we have to know that whatever we do is going to impact that child. And we can impact them negatively. Or we can impact them positively. But we're going to be the role models that they see. And when we was going through the hard times in our marriage, that child suffered through that. And it took us a long time to realize all of the damage that was being done. Because one of the things that happened, which was we was discussing last night, was that we were doing a lot of what we had seen done or what we had done to us. And that's where we operated in. So, you know, just to pick back up on that, what were some of the things that you learned?
Well, like I said, you know, with my father, and, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, if the seed is your seed or not, you know. The atmosphere is in the home, you know, be it a whoremonger, be it a alcoholic, be it a drug abuser, you know, physical abuse, anything that has a trend in that house and establish a stronghold over that house, it's gonna attach itself to whoever's in that house.
Yeah.
You know, especially at a young age, and if you grow and it's so persistent in the family, you know, it's gonna become a generational curse. So, you know, and even like I said, the things that are spoken over your life as you grow, you know, in that family, it's gonna become a part of your character, you know. And as you grow into an adult, those things carry over. And then you pass them on to the next generation, you know. So the only way to break those type of curses is to, you know, somebody has to submit themselves to the Word of God. You know, it takes the blood of Jesus and the Word of God to break those generational curses. It's not a mind, you know. Some people say, you know, it's not a mind over matter thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might have a sibling that just seem to do everything right. But somewhere along the line, it's going to happen where that characteristic is going to pick up. You know, I remember coming up, I used to hear people say, you know, you just like your daddy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's
and
that
it was,
curse.
And it never was because you were doing something well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was those traits that he had that were negative or nasty or, you know, those things that defined his character in a light that, you know, people saw that in you,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it is very, you know, incumbent upon us to speak positive things and to the lives of our children, you know, because words are spirit. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not abstract. They once you put them out there, you can't take them back.
Mm-mm.
You know, and you know, if you're cursing your children and talking to them nasty and not showing love and kindness and respect to them because they deserve respect too. You know, we want our children to respect us, but at the same time, we don't want to respect them. You know,
right.
We figure just because I'm your parent, you do as I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not as I do. You know, but they're looking at us as an example, you know, and when they see us doing stuff, you know, if mama got pregnant at 14 and she got a daughter, 9 times out of 10, you know, there's a great possibility that it might come back around,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we have to be very, very careful at how we rear our children and the things that we speak over their lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because I know that we struggle so hard in getting a relationship between the three of us that was tight-knit, you know, the kind of relationship that a loving, caring, kind, sharing family should have. And it was real difficult for me. Like I said last night, you know, watching my son trying to develop a relationship with you, being the type of person that you was at that time. You know, it was a lot of selfishness. It was a lot of standoffishness, you know, a lot of discipline, strictness, you know. It was a lot of limitations for him as a child. And like I said, if I had a scene you exhibiting different behaviors, you know, back then, you know, you was drinking and it was, you know, that generational curse, you know, when the things that you had seen your father doing, you know, became okay with you. You know, sometimes I think that men and women, because my mother was very mean, so was I. You know, my mother was a fighter, so was I. I picked up everything that she did to me and made me feel I did the same thing to others. And I remember with my first son, I was very, very, very strict with him. And as a matter of fact, he couldn't even understand why I didn't treat the second one the same way I treated
All right.
him. And part of that was because I was tired.
You know. In the first one.
Yes, and then I was tired from being the way I was. And that change, you know, that transition was coming with this one. That transition was coming where I wanted to be a different person. I wanted to be a different mother. I wanted to learn something new and have that. And I wanted to have that with you. And I think that going up in my head thinking of what life should be like instead of experiencing life as it was, had a lot to do with us not being able to interact well. Because if we could have been able to sit down and love and talk about each other, you know, to get to learn each other and know these issues that we had that was always coming up and causing us to act this way, even in front of the child, you know, because it was a very difficult time.
Well, a lot of the things from my childhood, really, I really didn't want to remember them, you know.
Okay.
I didn't even want to, you know, try to draw from a lot of that, you know, because a lot of it was, you know, the discipline side of being reared up. You know, Bible tells us to raise up a child in the way that he should go, and as you grow older, you should function those ways. But, you know, there's a flip side to that, you know, and that's the curse side.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. if you raised up in an environment where there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of tension in the family, there's a lot of, you know, void of love, you don't see affection, you know, you don't see even siblings, you know, having rivalries all the time and not getting along together, you know what I'm saying?
And not being taught
how to do that, mm-hmm. you know. You get a whooping for everything,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Amen.
That's why you feel like, you know, children
that's
should be raised.
Yeah,
that's the
problem
standard,
problem.
You know.
Yeah.
So a lot of times until you see something different, you know, you really think that's the norm. You know, that's the way families function, you know, which it is total opposite. It's a dysfunctional family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you grow up with self-esteem issues and you know, you're not really attentive in school, so you don't do your best in school and stuff. And it's just a whole lot of social problems that you inherit from a family that doesn't really have that love in the center of it to disperse amongst the whole family unit. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely had some issues, especially in the area of love, because I've never seen it modeled before me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never really knew what it was. You know, I know that I cared for my mother and father and my sisters and brothers, but I really didn't know how to love them. I remember when my father died, I didn't feel any emotion. I didn't feel any emotion when my mama died. I did feel emotion when my grandmother died. But I believe that was because I really didn't understand. My mother and father would think that kind of scared me because I was young when that happened. So not understanding that, I think that's what brought
gave
those tears
emotion.
On. Yeah, made me emotional. And that's scary. You know what I'm saying? But my parents were separated when I was young. Girls, it was eight of us. And the girls went with my mom and the boys went with my dad. And we were split up at a young age and stuff. So, you know, I lived in a foster home and was under foster care for years and really didn't have a lot of stability in my life growing up. So, you know, I really never saw a loving environment. You know, I saw people trying to care for us and take care of us and, you know, things of that nature, but I never really saw that love that should come from a family environment. So maybe that's why when I did finally have my own, you know, relationships, that I really didn't know how to give of myself emotionally or from the heart,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was kind of bored of it. So it was more or less the mechanics of a relationship instead of really being in it. So, kind of like how it would. Until I found the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's when I began to really understand what love was and what love is. So I just thank God for that, because it really does make life a lot different and a lot better and a lot worth more living, you know, become a more caring, sharing, and kind person. And knowing what agape love really is, and knowing that when you're in God's word, you know, it helps that nurture that love, that he shows you how to love one another. He shows you how to be kind. He shows you how to trust and know what it is to be able to give of yourself, you know, because that's what love is really all about. It's just putting yourself, putting others first before yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And letting them know that they hold a place of worth and this is a cherished place in your heart. You know, it's nothing that, you know, I wouldn't do for you. You know, I wouldn't do for my son. You know, I'm willing to give everything that I have to make sure that you're happy, that you have the things that you need. Just know that, you know, if you call me, I'm there for you.
If you answer the phone. Yeah.
You don't talk to move down. No, but not really ever feeling that before, you know, mm-hmm. It was kind of put you in a real strange place because it's a void there. You know what I'm saying? And you wonder why, well, how come I can't, you know, this person? You know, you might have feelings for that person, but
can't express them.
You really can't express them the way you really want to.
Yes, that's true. I've talked with a lot of ladies. I remember I was sharing with someone about how instead of saying exactly how we feel, as women, we'll say something totally different. And I think that's another thing that keeps us from being able to operate in love because we don't operate in truth first.
Right.
You know, and we're going to have to be able to just say exactly how it is that we feel, exactly what it is that's hurting us, exactly what it is that's disappointing us, exactly what it is we're ashamed of, afraid of. Whatever the emotion is, we need to learn how to identify, be okay with saying it, you know, like the words that confess to one another, you know. Talk about these things because, like I said last night, if we had shared with each other that this is what's going on with me, you reminded me of my mom when you act like that, you know, and you share with me where you come from. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and this is scaring me because I don't know what I'm doing. I know that the worst thing that a man could probably feel is fear,
yeah,
you know.
And then, you know, you got pride, you know, pride gets mm-hmm. in the way, and, you know, because, you know, as a man, you don't want your woman to know you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I got too much pride and swagger for that. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think when I began to realize that, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But
okay,
what was
some
lacking,
forgiveness.
Yeah, I got some forgiveness mm-hmm. through that. And then that helped me to be able to move on, to start healing. You know what I'm saying? And start to seek my spiritual side as to, you know, who I am as far as, you know, a person and an individual, because I never really identified who I was individually as a person. You know what I'm saying?
So when did you do that work?
I had to come into myself.
So when did you do that work?
It was over some years.
Uh-huh.
You know, because
well, what was left out by the time you got to me?
Got a lot of stuff.
Oh, okay.
A whole lot of stuff, because a lot of this stuff, you know, that I'm finding out, you know, happened in recent years. You know what I'm saying? It was something that, you know, was established before I met you.
Oh.
You know, a lot of this stuff was, you know, you experienced some of it. The rough side of the mountain, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
You know, but you know, you now you find you with the part of me. You know, you the part that God has helped me identify with, you know, being the spiritual man, you know, instead of the carnal man, you know. That's who you met, carnal Clay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So now you with spiritual Clay, you know. And that's a big difference, you know, because part of me was off the chain. He was no joke.
You don't have to tell
okay.
me. I do remember.
You know, and that's the real me, the spiritual me somebody that God created me to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the drunkard and guy was running to the club, staying out there all night and smoking and drinking and all that kind of stuff. You know, that was the one that I had created before, you know, when I was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't have no responsibility, so responsibility came. I really didn't know how to take care of responsibility.
And you didn't want it.
I really didn't.
You didn't want it.
You know, my money, I was terrible with my money, and, you know, but a lot of that came through that generational curse.
Exactly.
You know, not being able to really see the true responsibility in life that I had, being a husband and, you know, I mean,
a father.
I mean, my first marriage, it was a disaster. You know, 18 years of just messing up, you know, and the good times really wasn't that many of them. You know what I'm saying? Because I was still trying to swim through the muck and the mire of trying to find out who I really was. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always had that spirituality in me, but I never really let it take root. I never, you know, studied that word to the point where I was spending time with God and praying and really, you know, seeking God's face. You know, I was too busy trying to get that status quo, you know. As I was in the military and I was moving up a little bit, once I did start getting promoted, I kind of got elevated kind of quick, you know. So it was about that status then, you know what I'm saying? And I think being married was part of that status too, you know, and just saying that I was married and had a family.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
because a lot of people's definition of an adult is marriage,
yep.
You know, having a home and children and working. You know, they think that that's an adult, but that maturity is not there.
It's not there.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual maturity is definitely important. And that's the only thing that we're going to have that's going to actually give us the opportunity to learn how to operate in love and break those curses and break those chains in our relationships with each other. It is very important. But I definitely want to thank you for sharing being part of you with us tonight and talking about breaking those generational curses. You got to know that it's all about operating in love. And while you pray us out, I'm going to play this song for us, okay? Amen.
Anointed,
anointed,
baby
dub, woo! I remember the day you found me. I was incomplete. My hope was lost and fading fast. I searched but couldn't find relief. Then all of a sudden I fell out of nowhere. A rushing mighty wind. It changed my heart, renewed my mind. And now I have peace within.
Situation is, what the problem is, the lesson is always love. Amen.
I haven't been anointed,
anointed,
baby dub,
baby dub. Woo! I remember the day you found me. I was incomplete. My heart was lost and fading fast. I searched but couldn't find relief. Then all of a sudden I fell out of nowhere. A rushing mighty wind. It changed my heart, renewed my mind, and now I have peace.